our VIC Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to commercial-free and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on PRN.FM or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. We are blessed today to have once again Phyllis Fisher, who was one of the beginners of the organic farming in the 1970s. So we're so honored to have her. Welcome again to our show, Phyllis. I can hear you now.
Okay.
Yes, so why don't you just take over the show and go where Father leads you into all the wisdom he's given you on organic farming.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know, my husband and I's journey started after our college years when we were at the university in the 60s and 70s. And what basically happened is we got our education and we enjoyed learning, but we wanted to put it to work in a way that would fulfill our lives. And we were guided to really spend our time looking for clean food, because at that particular time, big corporations and a lot of processing was taking place, and we knew that there were people out there that was that had the knowledge, the horticultural knowledge, and the knowledge that was needed to be able to grow good food, and so we really started looking for that, and it's a very interesting journey, because not a lot of people were doing that at that time. You know, most people were taking their college education and going off in a completely different direction. So what we were doing is finding farmers and finding people that had dedicated their lives. And we found it people that had started, you might say, you know, at the beginning of their life in places like Ohio, and then moved to South Florida. And we were in a place where it's, you know, Summer City. It's like Florida is really an area where you could grow a 24/7 kind of horticulture experience. And it was a lot of fun finding people that had things like amazing avocados that were the size of footballs, for instance. And when you cut them open, all you needed was a little lime juice, and the avocado was a meal. I mean, it was a plate full of food, and it had all the nutrients that a person would need. It had amazing nutritional qualities. And so we were able to find a lot of food. And the issue with some of that is just that some of those things are seasonal. And what do you do about that? You know, you have to take care of a tree for a year to get the fruit to come off of it. And the same thing with citrus. We just happened to be this morning at a yard that one of our clients in our business had that started a lot of citrus. And we're in North Florida at the time, right now, and there was about 15 varieties of citrus in this yard. So we were picking Hamlin oranges, tangelos, lemons, loquats, you name it, all kinds of kumquats. The loquats were just forming. And here we are just eating some of these things, juicing them right here in the middle of a city. This is what we can actually do. If you have a little piece of property, you don't have to have acres and acres. You don't have to depend on going out and finding a farmer that is doing things so commercially that it's not the quality that you're looking for. You can do a lot of this yourself if you have the interest and the time, and you don't have to do it to that magnitude. Their whole front yard was full of citrus. But you can do it so that it supplies at least the beginning needs of your food. And so we spent a long time figuring out where to find the food, and also at that particular time we were learning how to grow the food too. So now in our business, Fisher Landscape Design and Consultation, what we do is we focus on helping individuals find a way to use their property in a fulfilling way. Now, growing things that are edible, growing things that are beautiful, growing things organically so that you actually have a relationship with the plants and you have a relationship with the property you have so that you can be plugged into how to take care of it. How do we learn to take care of it? Do we have to read a book? Do we have to go off and ask someone else? Sometimes that's helpful, at least to get started. But actually, when we finally get going on these things, we should be able to find out what that plant needs through a relationship with that plant. And, of course, we know that to take care of the plant is very similar to take care of ourselves. When we take care of ourselves, if we don't take care of every part of ourselves, like Renee is talking about on a cellular level, then we are missing something. So, for instance, the soil that we plant a plant in has to be healthy. If it's not healthy, then it's going to tell you. And the plant will immediately tell you pretty quickly what's going on with the relationship that it has with the soil. The same thing with our gut flora. If we are not digesting our food, and if we're not putting the correct food inside of us so that it can be digested, and the relationship that all those things have, then life will tell us that. Life will tell us that something is out of whack, it's out of balance, it needs attention. And it's so interesting how all of life really layers into similar types of understandings of how to do these things. It's really not complicated. And we have time to do this. It's not like we have to get it right from the very beginning. If we pay attention, what really happens is we benefit from that relationship with that plant. So today when we were picking citrus and eating it and looking at it, it's so, everything is so beautiful. The leaves are totally green this time of year. Up here it was 30-something degrees last night here, but the leaves are totally green, whereas many of the trees, the leaves have fallen off because it is winter here, not the citrus. So if you grow the correct varieties in the areas that you are. So we were talking about.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, moving forward with the possibility of being able to grow some things for ourselves. And we always suggest is just start out where you're comfortable and where you could be successful. There's no need to be a farmer and, you know, to change your whole lifestyle over to being somebody that, you know, has skills that you may not have. But at the same time, it is very easy to start in a simple way with things that pretty much we could do with a child. A child could do this. So certainly an adult could do it. So for instance, starting with something like sprouts. It's so easy to take viable seed and either do a sprout that you would eat or sprout it to take it outside and plant a plant. For instance, right now we have kale growing, we have collards growing, we have Swiss chard growing, parsley, let's see what else is out there, and some other things like garlic greens and garlic plants, all of which we can cut and use in a variety of different ways. Juicing it, we can use it to cook, or we can use it raw in salads because it's so tender and so delicious right now. And so pretty much anybody could do that with a pot and some really good soil and a little loving attention. We can have something that we can eat. Why not start there? Start at a place where we can be successful from the very beginning. For instance, if you have some radish seed, some fenugreek seed, some clover seed, you can mix them all together, and then you can just put water on them. Once you put water on them, within practically minutes, what you see is the seed plumping up because it's breaking down the special covering that's around that seed that helps it to survive without sprouting at any given time because it responds only to certain care to be able to sprout. And then within hours, there's a little sprout coming out of there. That's nutrition. That's total nutrition right there.
Amazing.
Yes. Now, what you can do with that is you could actually put that in soil, and you can make microgreens. So that's taking it another step. If you take it and put just about an inch of soil in there, really good soil, what happens is that plant turns into something we call microgreens. Then you could let that get a little bigger. It'll actually get some little leaves on it. And if you just cut the top of it off, it'll continue to do that for a few days or so, depending on the seed that you planted. That's the next level. Okay, what's the next level? The next level is taking that seed and putting it in a pot full of soil so that the radish could grow into a full-grown radish. Or the fenugreek can grow into fenugreek, which is a wonder, by the way, it's wonderful Indian food that they put into their food. And it has a wonderful, unique flavor. Or, you know, you're growing something like a parsley plant, which will grow into this big, beautiful bouquet of parsley that you could continue to cut because it grows from the center and out. And what happens is you just cut out the outside. So if you cut, just keep cutting around the outside, the center will continue to grow until it sprouts and one starts to warm up and makes seeds come out of the top. Then you have your seed again if you want to go through the whole cycle. So there you can be successful within, you know, within a couple days you can see that you could be successful. Now, what kind of attention does it need? It needs a little attention. I mean, we do have to take care of the things. If you put your sprouts out in a jar on top of a sunny windowsill, then they need to be washed. They need to be rinsed with water so that they stay viable, because they need that kind of watery lubrication to keep them going. So that's all that they have when you're sprouting. You don't have them in soil. And then as soon as they're sprouted out about a half inch or so, it starts eating them. You just got to put handfuls in your mouth. You can juice them if you want to, but why bother? It is juice. I mean, you just throw them in your mouth and they have a little bit of fiber, but most of it is liquid. And they have a lot of different flavors. So if you're sprouting something like radish seed, it's going to taste a little different than clover, et cetera. So, you know, you could experiment with doing it together, or you could experiment with doing it separate and see what you like. So that's a really easy way for anybody to get started. I don't care if you live in an apartment. I don't care if you live without a lot of land around you. You could be living in a teepee. It doesn't matter. You just need sunshine and a little good water and some seed, and you're started. You're really growing something that you can eat for yourself, that you've done. How wonderful is that? Yeah.
That sounds super, super easy, that anybody can do and empower themselves to not have to depend on, you know, the places to find it and all that. Do it themselves, exactly. Even in my wellness on wheels, my RV, I can start growing some sprouts.
Well, you can. Now, you might have to retrofit your windowsills or, you know, a little place outside or something like that. You know, because you have, you know, some special needs. Same thing with a person who has, everybody has sort of a different situation. But, you know, you can create little places that you could hang the jars on. Mason jars are great to sprout in. And all you need is a mason jar with an old-fashioned cap. I like the wide-mouth jars because you can get in and out of them a lot better. But you can get this cap that, you know, that the old-fashioned caps with that just have the cap and not the seal. You can put a little screen on that, and you're done. You've got your little greenhouse. And you can line those up. And I do suggest that if you do get serious about this, that you do it like every 3 days you start sprouts, because you're going to eat them. So what you want is a continuous supply. If that, you know, if that makes sense to you, because you really like these kind of things. So if you're a beginner at this, you may just start it, see what's going on, what your needs are. But for somebody that's eating them like you and I all the time, then it's good to get, like, every 3 days to figure out how much you need and then to keep it going. And then you're just eating the ones that you started earlier, and then you're starting the next batch so that you can continue this. Now, this is not seasonal. If you have some fresh seed, alfalfa is another really good seed to do that with, and wheat is another good one to do that with. So if you wanted to eat the whole seed that has sprouted out and the little green part, you can do that with sprout. Now, of course, they're going to kind of taste a little different. Like, wheatgrass tastes kind of sweet, right? And it has that little, the end of eating it, you know, you have that little tinge. It's kind of like this sort of feeling of energy or power. This is really interesting because it's a really strong flavor. But certainly, if you like one more than the other, you could sprout that long, you know, for more so that you could have it all the time. And then you could experiment. Most seeds that would become vegetables would be a seed that you could sprout. And that brings up the micro sprouts. You could have little broccoli, you could have little, all kinds of little things growing, and you just eat them before they turn into the plant. And, you
Sounds
know, years
so simple
ago,
to me.
Yeah, years ago when you do a row of different kinds of vegetables like broccoli or Swiss chard or things like that, then you know, you'd put a lot of seed down and then you'd have to pull out some of the plants because they're too close together, and then you would just eat those. You know, you could transplant them if you needed to, but you could just be out in the garden pulling them out and eating them because that's what it is. It's just a little sprout out there. And so that's a great way for anybody to get started. Once they've done that and they feel successful, then they can just start the pot. You know, you get yourself a really big pot, not something really small, but I like to get them so that you don't even have to bend over too much. Sometimes you can get these pots that are made out of clay, and they're something that will last indefinitely because you can use them over and over. And you start making compost, of course, with all your eggshells and the parts of the vegetables you're not using and anything that is compostable, and within months you have good rich soil. But the important part of that good rich soil, it has the micronutrients in it, like we were talking about, like the gut flora that we need. That the micronutrients and the all the different parts of that soil that are working together in perfect harmony are the things that that plant is going to need later. Now, sometimes that's hard to put together for some people. They think that you need fertilizer for plants. But we've all been brainwashed to think that because then we all go out and buy fertilizer, right? But that's not necessarily accurate. The fertilizer really should be fertility. It should be the part of the soil that brings those nutrients to the soil. So what are those? Sometimes they're nutrients like minerals, things like that. But also, there are things that are working together to break down the parts of the soil so that they can be readily available. The things that are working together are actually millions and millions and probably gazillions of organisms that are working together to do that. And by the way, they're not getting paid to do that. They're doing that because they're programmed by nature. They're programmed by the Father to do that for us.
That's right. Wow. Amazing.
It is a gift to us that we have to be so grateful for, because when we're grateful, my goodness, it gives more and more. It gives more and more. We become more aware. We become more educated to be able to do this and share it with others. And that's precisely what we're doing now, is attempting to help others understand those gifts and to be grateful for them, so that we can all live in a world on Earth where there is peace and harmony with each other. And I really feel that when we're talking about caring for ourselves and caring for our food, caring for each other, then we're developing a skill and an important virtue in ourselves that we don't always realize the power and the importance of. For instance, if we truly cared about ourselves and we truly cared about each other and we truly cared about our environment on Earth, how could we hurt it? How could we defile it? We couldn't.
That's right.
We couldn't hurt each other if we truly cared about each other.
Yep.
So it's really simple. It's not something that requires us to go to some university and become an expert or to have all kinds of degrees. This is very easy to understand. Another thing that is important to understand, if we're eating seasonal foods, and we want to go out and find those seasonal foods, because obviously the things that I'm talking about is a start of growing things, but not necessarily is it the only food that we need. So back years ago, like I was talking about, my husband and I really, we started looking for clean food. And we took a road less traveled, quite frankly. I mean, we weren't following the crowd. And so we were looking for something that most people weren't looking for. But what we have found now, years later down the line, is that we were looking for important things. We were looking for a way to stay healthy so that we can do the work that we're doing today, for instance. And it's important that we all do that now. So if you start out with growing sprouts and microgreens in a small little pot with some other greens in it, that's great. But you do need to find other foods. So a lot of food is seasonal, for instance. So in Florida, starting in around November, they start picking citrus and different kinds of fruit and so forth. And then by the time the end of March comes around, we're finished. You have to go further north. You know, you just keep going north. And so we have to take care of our trees all year to get the fruit. But we're not going to have fruit, so we have to either learn how to preserve it in some ways, or we have to be able to have other foods that can take their place so that we're not relying only on the foods that aren't there, right? So, for instance, preserving food is an important part of what we do. So you can dry and freeze a lot of things very easily. I mean, there's no need. If you can find fruit at a time when it's very seasonal and very abundant, it's usually the price of it is usually better than if you buy it off-season or if you buy it from a place that's bringing it from overseas or something like that. Plus, we don't always know what we're getting when we're getting things from overseas. A friend of mine told me that every single thing that comes on a boat is irradiated. And
that's right. Our government, I heard also at a presentation, I had two ex-Whole Food employees that were kind of spilling the beans, should I say, of what they learned by being employees. And they said that our government mandates everything coming from out of the country. Our government's the one that mandates them to spray it for bug spray. And, so you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So the bug spray is one thing, but irradiation is, that's irradiation. I mean, that's...
And the radiation,
They're putting it on conveyor belts, X-raying it with some kind of X-ray, and so that supposedly kills, things like bugs that are coming from overseas and or viruses, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean... This is a systemic issue with horticulture because today the world is much smaller and things are being shared. I mean, those kind of things can come on a person's clothes or food that they have in their purse or something like that. So, I mean, it's not possible to completely do those kind of things, but they think they are. I have a friend, a very good friend for over 30 years that is a seaweed farmer in Maine, and he keeps up on all those things. Seaweed is another really important food that we could preserve and that we can have all year if you have a source for that. So what is a good way for getting minerals? Well, there's a lot of good ways, but seaweed is one of the most important ways to get the minerals that humans need. So doing research on my own, I found that, my goodness, the seaweed that we need and that we can eat are the highest in things like calcium, edible calcium, usable calcium, not just calcium that people take and, you know, it flushes through them or causes problems in other places, right? This means it's something that we can digest. It has, and it plus it's in a food, so it's balanced with the other minerals it needs, like magnesium, right, and iron, micro minerals and things like that, iodine, etc. So these are things that every single one of us should have in our diet, and it's so versatile because sea vegetables do not have a flavor to speak of, they have more of a texture, then it's so easy to use them because you can use them dried, you can use them cooked, you can use them raw. I mean, it's just amazing. And when my children were growing up, it was such a pleasure to see them playing because I was never frightened to see them roughhousing and jumping out of trees and digging holes because I knew their bones were strong. And they can do all the things that children do without worrying that they're going to be hurt because they were eating seaweed. To this day, you could ask them about it. You know, they're quite frank about that, and they continue to eat it because it's one of the foods that we can put in a dark place in our pantry and pull out every day. And it is a food you can eat every day without interfering with your food selection. So that's another way to get food to ourselves and our families. We also give the soil lots of fertilize our soil with sea vegetables. So isn't that interesting? Because what we're doing is we're putting those marine minerals back into the soil where, you know, that it's been depleted. But they're readily available for the plants. So an easy way to make sure your plants are getting those good marine nutrients is simply to put just a little pinch of seaweed right there at the bottom of the hole before you put the seed in or before you put the plant in.
Wow.
How nice is that? It's great.
That's amazing. Yep.
Yeah, so we give that too. We also spray it on our trees, especially our fruit, because it's plants can receive nutrients also from their leaves. And not too long ago, there was a client of ours that called and said that their camellias were all dropping off. And so we went over to look at it to see what that was. And he made his little magic concoction up and sprayed it. And I would say within the week, the flowers started opening up instead of falling off. It was exactly what the plant needed. And a lot of times humans is exactly what they need too, is because they're mineral deficient or vitamin deficient, you don't need to go to the doctor. What we need to give ourselves nutrients that we need so that our body can repair itself and function the way it's designed.
That's incredible how it can do it itself. And I have a question for you because I had purchased that main seaweed for you and I still have some left over. I probably had it for at least 6 months. How long does that last, those bags of that main seaweed that I purchased, do you think?
2 or 3 years, actually.
Really? Well, so I can still utilize it. Yay.
And so put it in a, but keep it in a dark area, not out in the light, because sometimes it'll change colors with light on it. So keep it in a more dark area, in a cover or something like that.
Yeah, that's where we have it. Yep.
Usually what we do after about 2 years, we start using it as fertilizer. And then we also purchase some from him as well. But basically what we're doing is we're using everything about it. So I actually told a woman one time, her son had a kind of like a fungus growing on his arm, And her husband was a pharmacist, and they couldn't figure out how to get it off. And then when she finally talked to me, they had gone to the doctors and everything. I said, take a piece of seaweed and reconstitute it in water and lay that on there every night when he goes to sleep. And in a week, it was gone.
Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. And wow. So you're more than welcome to tell everybody the website. Any audience that wants to know where she's getting the best seaweed there is, why don't you give their website?
Well, our website is creativelandscapeservices.com, and I would prefer someone to get in touch with us if they okay. want to, because he's a small business, and, you know, so he does this on his own, and I'm going to say he has about, him and his wife do it, and then he's got about five or six young people that come and visit him throughout the year to help him harvest and stuff like that. So you can reach me at Phyllis, P-H-Y-L-L-I-S, at creative, spelled out, landscape, spelled out, services, with an S, .com, and I'd be glad to help you. So
awesome, thank you.
So, so the next step, we have a few more minutes, so can we continue?
We sure can. You got about another 15 minutes, so just keep sharing.
Okay. You keep me on task. I appreciate that. So... With a focus on clean food and education, I mean, the next step really is to find a way maybe to look in your local areas to find people that are doing what I'm talking about, because I am sure there is people everywhere in our beautiful United States that are doing this. It's actually a movement, and I want people to know that there's a lot of people that are starting a regeneration movement. And that's another thing I can share with you. There's a great film out called Farmer's Footprint, Our Regeneration. And all over the Midwest, there are really family farms that are fed up with doing agriculture the way they've been told for the last 50-plus years. And they said, we're taking our lives back, because people were getting sick from spraying all those chemicals. People were being harmed psychologically by those chemicals. And they got fed up and said, no more. And they are bringing back some of the old farming methods, and they have wonderful places where you can purchase organic meat, fresh from the farmer, where they have organic vegetables, fruit, and grains, etc., corn and wheat and so forth, that are heirloom seeds. They're using heirloom seeds and so forth. So whatever area you are listening from, it's important to maybe start a group of people that can research that together and meet, you know, once a month and just give tasks out to each other and find people that are doing this. And then as a group, you can go visit them. Most of these people that I'm talking about want you to come and visit, see how they've changed things. They want you to take your shoes off and walk around in their dirt and see how beautiful it is. And it's really a lot of fun to do that. There's a big farm that has regenerated itself not far. It's actually in South Georgia. And it's about an hour and a half from our farm. And it's a wonderful drive. We call it a green meditation. And when you get there, they have set it up so that you can take a tour, you can stay overnight. And they have several thousand acres. They have cows that they are producing and raising on grass. And they have a special way that they take the cattle through the butchering process so they're not scared. And then they freeze it right away so that it can be shipped all over the country. And they do that with all sorts of animals. They have every kind of fowl known. They have ducks and chickens and turkeys and guinea fowl. They have three or four types of pigs. They have... eggs and all sorts of things. And they also grow some vegetables seasonally. And we've tried just about everything that they have, and it's all a very good quality. So they're attempting to be able to sell locally. And when you go locally, then you don't have to pay shipping. And or if you go at the right time, they're running sales on chopped meat and things like that. And then you can save a lot of money when you go and do that. If you have a freezer, you just pop it in the freezer. And then you have stuff for more than a day, like or a couple days, like you have to do for the grocery store. And the other thing is you're not getting all that packaging. Honey, that packaging, you know, when you go to the grocery store, they have a bunch of styrofoam and all that other stuff. We could do without all that kind of stuff, right? And then, you know, being able to tour these places helps us to see who we're supporting and who we want to support. I don't think most Americans realize that their dollars are supporting things that they may not want to be supporting. And why not find people we want to support and we want to care for, because they're caring for their animals and they're caring for their land and they're caring about us. So I think that it would be great to hear from people about doing that, just coming together with a little group of people that say, yeah, we can do this. You know, we can find maybe up to 1 to 3 hours away of people that are doing these sorts of things. Who's growing the fruit? What kind of fruit? Who's growing the vegetables? What kind of vegetables? Who's growing grain? What kind of grain? Who's growing, who's doing animal husbandry, and what type of animals? Who has the eggs? Those kind of things. And what you might find is that there could be small farms that are doing it, and then there might be medium-sized and much larger farms. And by visiting them, you can see the milk. You can taste the milk. We went to an olive grove, and at the olive grove, they were harvesting oil olives. They're called Arbequina olives, so they're small olives, but they're full of oil, and then they're throwing them into their hamper to be able to crush, and they have this really big olive press, and they're pressing the olives, and here comes the 100% fresh olive oil coming right out. It looked like an olive oil milkshake. That's what it looked like. And it tasted, because it was warm. You know, because it was going through the press and being ground, it was warm. It was so delicious. So, I mean, you'll find things like that. Yeah, you'll find things like that, and it'll be an education for you, and it'll be wonderful. And the other thing that's really important is I'm also a childbirth educator. So as a childbirth educator, I am trying to impart the importance of understanding how valuable it is to start that wonderful child's life by the parents eating nutritionally. So preconception, if those two parents are healthy and eating well and thinking well, then they're going to be imparting that health when they conceive a child. Absolutely. And then as that mother is caring that child and loving that child by taking care of her nutrition, that also imparts something of such great value, not only to grow the baby. And I tell this to parents, but you're actually imparting the child's constitution as well. So that means that whole life is getting a gift of something. How valuable is that? And it's important that we start supporting the people, the farmers, and ourselves, whoever it is that's doing those things, so we can build a new world so that we can depend on the food that we have to have on a daily basis.
Exactly, and it's so imperative today, too, because of the lack of being able to find it. I told you earlier how I was having a real tough time having to go to several places to get the cleanest of the cleanest. So not only empowering yourself, audience, with, you know, by growing it yourself, and that's what Phyllis and her husband has created, is a landscape to teach you how to start with even your balcony to grow clean food. But you're also going to save the money. I mean, it's so the cost of even getting at a grocery store clean food is crazy. So it'll be free too. So that's the advantage to it.
Well, I mean, let's face it, all of us could spend, you know, a few minutes a day doing that, and to grow sprouts, that's all you need. I mean, seriously, get a half a dozen mason jars, get those caps, Get some seed that you think you'd be happy to start with, and you could be sprouting with less than a half hour a day, you know, depending on how many you're growing.
Amazing. And where are you getting your seeds? What do you recommend as far as getting the cleanest seeds from?
Well, there's a couple places that sell seed. I mean, it depends what you want. So, for instance, if you're buying by the pound, you're buying a lot of seeds. So, eventually, you may want to do something a little bigger. So, you may want to buy a couple pounds at a time. But you can go to, like, a health food store, and you can buy seed there. So, sometimes they'll actually have seed that would be, let's see, like, they could have wheat. So, if you got organic wheat, you can easily sprout that. I have mung beans in my refrigerator now that I bought at the health food store. And I do a lot of Indian cooking, so I was going to make khichdi. But what happened was they started sprouting. Now, I could cook them sprouted if I want to, but they're so beautiful that I'm going to start eating them myself. So they started sprouting. I mean, I put them in the water, and, you know, a day later, they're sprouting. Those are bean seeds, so they're a little bit bigger. So their little leaves, when they start growing, will be like about maybe a quarter inch on either side. That's quite a lot of food. So you could put that in a smoothie if you wanted. Yes. Or you could saute, just a little light saute with a good oil and, you know, some other vegetables. You can do that. Or like I do, you can make just an Indian food that's absolutely amazing using those beans. So if you don't, not every bean will sprout. But if it's an organic bean, and if you just buy a little bit and see if it sprouts, then you'll know that supply is good to buy. So, for instance, you know, you should be able to do that with most any bean that's organic, because they haven't sprayed them with things that are what they call inhibitors, so that they won't sprout and that it makes them unviable, you might say, or, you know, the life force is wasted. So, sure, you could do that with just about any seed or grain and or vegetable seed. And you start out small, and then before you know it, when you do want to buy pounds and stuff, email me. I mean, call me, and, you know, we'll get a source for you. It's just when you start getting in, like we did years ago, what we started to do is store food. You have to have a place to store it, and you have to have containers to store it in, because you don't want to go through the trouble of buying something or growing something and then it not being healthy and or viable health-wise when you use it. So you have to pay a little bit more attention to those kind of things, and you have to have a little space to do that. But it's all possible. I mean, our ancestors did that. You look back at any of our ancestors, of course they were doing that. So it's in our DNA already. Of course we know how to do that. We don't have to reinvent the wheel here. A lot of these things were things that many of our ancestors had done for survival purposes, because they didn't have grocery stores and they didn't have 18-wheelers to go from coast to coast bringing food here and there. You know,
right.
That's why people smoke things, because that would preserve it. You know, I mean, that's why people did things. Yeah, if you look at the pemmican that the Indians used, I mean, that was a lot of fat and acorns and I think cranberries and other seeds, and they would mash it together, and then the fat would preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The real food. What is the name of the group that you said was starting now, of conscious people waking up? I didn't quite hear the name of the group that you said.
I'll send it to you, but I believe it's called Farmer's Footprint Regeneration Farming. It is a great film that I want you to watch, because it is so amazing. And that's the other thing, creating this network. I mean, that's what the Father wants us to do. He wants us to love each other. So if that's the case, because that's where our food is, really, you know, it's in that love. So when we're loving one another, instead of we're caring about one another, when we're caring about one another, then that is true democracy, honey. That is what true democracy is.
It's I am so with you. Yeah. I'm so with you. And like I said, it prevents you from having to be unsure how clean you're purchasing or you're getting, but also the expense of it. It's a great advantage just to do it yourself and start small and grow bigger as you can. We have a few more minutes, Phyllis, so I really want everybody to have all the information they need to contact you for any guidance, because I know your heart is to help, you know, like mine is, help the world. So please give everyone your contact information, and I'm just blown away by you.
Well, we will post it. If you go back to the website where the radio station is, we'll make sure we'll do it there as well. But the name of our business is Fisher Landscape Design and Consultation. And our website is creativelandscapeservices.com. Generally, if you put some of that in there, that it will come up. And we have a really nice website. If you look at it, you'll see those are the things. We're creating environments for people so that they live in Eden. I mean, we can do that, and we should do that. And then we start going outside more, and we start enjoying things more. And we start to be able to trust each other more and share more and all the things that we need to do. As a childbirth educator, my website is awomansway.fl/florida.com. My name is Phyllis Fisher, PHYLLISFISHER. If y'all need any help, don't hesitate to get in touch with me and or Renee. She knows where I'm at, and we'll get you started.
We're just so honored. We're so honored to hear all the wealth of wisdom you have, Phyllis. And people, listen to her. Listen to her. We have no choice but to empower ourselves with this education to keep our cellular terrain, our bodies strong to be able to survive. So let's definitely learn from this woman. And we just thank you. I mean, I just can't even begin to thank you for all the wisdom and all the years of dedication through the rough times. I mean, I know you guys have been doing this longer than anybody, as far as I'm concerned. So you are the originators.
Well, I appreciate that, but we continue something that has been given to all of us. And some of us pay attention, and some of us go off in other directions, but we just felt it was important and called to pay attention to some things that not everybody was paying attention to. And, you know, God bless my husband and my children and all the people that have helped us through the years, a lot of the farmers that were our great friends and were important people in our lives are passed on now, but they gave us the gift of understanding how to be brave and courageous and walk the path so that we can get the gifts, because we have to walk the path to get the gifts. And if we don't pay attention, they could be right in front of us, but we won't even know they're there because we're deluded by something else. So
That's right. And you're making it sound so simple, too. That's what I'm so happy to, you know, for you to be sharing with everybody, that really anyone can do it. I mean, even in my Wellness on Wheels, my 45-foot RV, I can actually start growing some sprouts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the food that we get, Renee, is part of it. So we get the nutrients, but we get the sustenance from doing it. So we have to realize by doing this, is an important part of waking up our DNA so that we can do the rest of it.
That's right. Well, thank you again, sweetheart. Thank you for taking the time with me. I know you're a very, very busy schedule, and we just are so grateful for everything that you and Stephen have been doing, and God bless you a lot, okay?
Thank you.
You're listening to Vic Fellowship, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our vacinfo.org website on the belly of a little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. If you have any questions about today's show, please call the voicemail line 862-800-6805. Leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On radio show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth, and y'all bless.